Welcome to the Safety Podcast, where we connect the health, safety and environment profession to keep you learning, evolving and having a positive impact. Thanks for taking the time to join us for this episode. Let's get started. Thanks for joining me for episode 28 of the Safety Podcast. We've had a few weeks out, the summer got the better of us, and with lots of things going on, we didn't get some interviews done that we had planned. So we're back in action now. We're keeping our lit, as they say, here in Belfast. And today's podcast is a meetup with one of the young entrepreneurs in the HSE space in Ireland, Brendan Maloney, the co-founder of Skillco, which is an innovative new app that looks to cut a lot of the admin out of the training headache that we have in our businesses when it comes to HSE compliance. And being an ex-HSE professional, or well, he still would be classing himself as an HSE professional, but being someone that has been in the position and looking after training and all the associated problems that has across different projects, Brendan has recognized the issue and developed his own software alongside his partners. Brendan's young company is growing at quite a rapid pace now that he's got things off the ground with his software application. And for me, it's a real inspiring story of how he's taken a problem that existed in his day-to-day work as an HSE professional and ended up researching and providing a solution to the market, which is now coming to fruition. And it's really getting going with a lot of positive feedback, which you'll hear during our interview with Brendan. So hopefully this is inspiring, opens your eyes to the opportunities that are out there within our space. And I look forward to hearing what you think. So Brendan, thank you for coming on to the podcast with me here today and joining me to tell us a bit about your story and your journey with Skillco. How are things?
Good, yeah, Richard. Thanks very much for having me. How are you?
Not a problem. Very well, very well. I'm glad to be getting the Safety Podcast back up and running here. We have had a bit of a hiatus over the last few weeks for various reasons, mostly due to myself and trying to get people lined up. So glad to have you on. Hopefully we can bring people like yourself onto the show over the next few months again and delve into their stories a bit. And obviously your story is interesting, certainly from my perspective, as an HSE professional, to hear that you've gone from being an HSE professional yourself to developing your own software product and still going through that process. But it all sounds very exciting and inspiring. So can you give people a bit about your background, Brendan? Obviously, I know you. We've spoke a few times before. But for those who are listening who have never heard of your product or yourself.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, it's 10 years ago, Richard, I graduated in environmental health and safety. And since then, I've been working in the utility and construction space across Ireland and the UK. Within that time, and a lot of that time, was managing training, the training elements with direct staff and subcontractor staff, from both ensuring they're in date, Excel matrices everywhere, and then also getting multiple Excel documents in from all of our contractors. After all of that, then as well, you were always wondering where you're paying the best price or getting the best quality training for your training. And I couldn't find a software solution that could solve this. And it was taken up probably within my role as when I reached the heights of a health and safety manager and within operations, still taking up 30-40% of my time making sure training compliance is in place and people were trained. So when I went out to search the market and I couldn't find anything, I started the build of Skillco. We researched another probably 200-300 businesses in the utility kind of industry across the UK and Ireland, just to see it was a common problem and not just a problem with the industry I was in and the companies I was in, as it was a common problem and it was taking up a lot of people's time, a lot of companies getting fined, a lot of companies spending a lot of money on training. And then we said, right, let's build this thing. And 2017 was the year we started to build. We launched it last year. We specialize in the utility and construction sector at the moment, and we're taking basically all of the administration of training away, and we're helping businesses link with training providers to search, book and pay for their training on the platform, which helps training providers grow their network as well. So we launched last year. Thankfully, I can say we've just over 20,000 users on the platform, and yeah, it's going pretty good, thankfully.
Good stuff, good stuff. So you've kind of created a link between the training providers and the businesses themselves, and then stripped away a lot of the admin, which I'm sure a lot of people listening, including myself, have had lots of experience of being involved in managing all that. And it really is an administrative task. I suppose it takes a lot of our time away from doing other things, which is more, you know, which are more people focused. Just on that point, Brendan, at the time when that was happening, you obviously seen the issue there. Did you actually communicate that to your superiors, let's say, in the business, and make them aware of how much time all of that was taking? Or was it just something that you sort of grind it away at and get on with?
We had a very, very good management team within my previous employer, and they knew how much time it was taking, because with training within a business, it's not just the safety or compliance department. It's the whole company is involved with HR. If you're pricing work, if you're tendering for projects, you need all the certificates, you need all the live documents, and that takes so much time for everyone to have a part of. We didn't have a platform that the guys from the tendering team could log in, download the individual's details they need, and create a CV for that tender. We didn't have a system that the HR teams could go in and see how we could promote staff and develop their sections. And we didn't have a platform that we get audited from the client or the health and safety authority or the HSE, and they had everything there on them at one time, rather than documents everywhere. So they knew that we had this problem, and they allowed us to search the market to see if there wasn't anything. And they were very supportive when I said, I'm going to build this. So they let me have the time to do that as well. Yeah, so it was really good.
It's interesting, actually, you mentioned it. It seems to be that with Skillco, you've built something that is as much a professional development and HR sort of enabler or platform as well as the health and safety one. Would that be?
No, we wouldn't class ourselves in any way HR. HR software systems, as many of them out there, and they're excellent, a lot of them, to be honest. They specialize in everything like disciplinaries and sickness leaves and stuff, absentees, all of that kind of stuff, holidays. We don't do any of that. We just focus on training. And the reason why we focused on training, Richard, is because every company is the same in terms of training. So it doesn't matter what sector, what industry, what company you go into, they'll usually have staff. That staff have to have training. That training needs to be managed. It goes out of date, and they want to find training suppliers too. Coordinate that training. So that's why we kept it very specific into one section of a company, because we're able to go into any industry over time. As I said, we're concentrating on the construction utilities, because I think that's the key here to save people a lot of time, rather than all the administrative duties they're doing. So
yeah, I suppose going from project to project, you're basically having to regurgitate everything each time.
Yeah.
And if you're doing sort of sequential projects, that there needs to be a tendering process, and all that information needs to be put together again and updated and relevant and to that time that you're doing it. So yeah, it is a very repetitive thing, and I suppose that's where a lot of the gains come from.
Exactly. Well, one of the things as the research was going on, we found is we're able to departmentalize a company within the system. So instead of having to set up project safety folders for every site and all of that kind of stuff, if a company wins a new project, they'll be able to create a project within the platform, add the staff to that project, and then whoever the contract manager is or whoever needs to see that information can log in, and they'll only see the people on their projects. And a unique part of it as well is if a company brings in five or six contractors and they have a Skillco account, instead of Excel matrices and certs and everything being emailed back and over, the contractors can simply share the staff securely with the main client on their via Skillco accounts, and they'll have everything there in a dashboard and lets them know what's going on very, 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 very simply.
Good stuff. Well, it does sound like you're helping solve a problem that I'm sure most of our listeners will be aware of and have gone through themselves. Now, obviously, it's good to hear about your product and to make people aware of it, and the fact that you've produced a solution from something you've seen in your day-to-day work, which I'm really, you know, someone who wants to encourage other people in our space to do that and be brave. So, you know, with that said, I want to dig in a bit more about your personal journey, you know, going with Skillco, focusing on it, taking the leap really to actually go for it, and what that's been like for you. It's been a few years, Brendan, at this point, is that right?
Yeah, so it's 2015, Richard. We when I was working with my previous employer, that's when the idea dropped to start. We need to look into this. We started researching for probably a year and a half in my own time, doing that with different kind of clients we were working with as well. In 2017, then I found a co-founder who was a software developer. And we started to build, so that the code and everything of this platform is our own. And that's where it got a bit tricky from my point of view, because that's out of my, I suppose, expertise, that kind of thing. So you were trying to implement a product and what it's for, why it's needed, proving the, and you still hadn't got a market fit yet. So you're at idea stage to coding stage to build stage. That was very tricky to do that and to talk to different companies. And luckily we had a few companies on board that were giving us advice as we were building the product to tell us, well, it'd be good if it had this and this, that and the other. And we compiled all that together. A tricky part then was doing the beta test. So we'd done a 7-month test with a select few companies. So we knew the product wasn't 100%, but we needed it to get out there for people to break it for us, you know, to do what it shouldn't do and see would it do that. A lot of feedback comes back. So there's a lot of time in it that you need to have a lot of patience for, that you're waiting for feedback to come back and you need to fix the bugs that you don't want there to be bugs for. So when we done that stage, that's when I made the leap then. I said, right, we've done this. The clients we have on the system that tested for us are very, very interested in it. And then it's a SaaS product. So it's once you go into a business, it'll implement. So then we made the leap, and thankfully we did. We're a year up and running now, trading, I suppose, commercially. And yeah, we're delighted we did, but it's a big risk because at the same time, you still didn't know if it was going to work or not. You know, it's very new to the market, and it's something you think, well, why isn't anyone else doing this, number one? But then maybe people haven't seen the problem as much as what we've had within our companies, so... yeah.
So, and it took a lot of patience for you to go through that iterative process and to do the research as well.
Yeah.
By the sounds of things, it takes a lot of gumption to continue on that process. Now, as you say, it's 4 years since the start of it.
Yeah.
Was there anything in particular that inspired you to actually move forward with it, or was it just something that grew over time?
Well, as I was building, and as you talk to every company, and each company you talk to needed it and they wanted it in different formats, but they still needed something to solve a problem, that always drives you on. Because when you think of an idea, when I thought of the idea myself at the start, I thought, right, this is a goer, of course it's going to work, but it'll only work for you because it's your idea. So you really need to check the market, and that takes time and effort. But when you're starting to get feedback from everyone you're talking to, that'll drive you on to do it. If you didn't get that, it'd be very hard to stick at it, you know. But thankfully we did, and that's what would drive you on. And a lot of it too, Rich, is when you hear about a lot of companies getting fined for workplace incidents or accidents, and you read the reports and look back at it, the first thing the companies or investigators ask is, were they adequately trained, and show us the proof of that. And a lot of the times staff aren't adequately trained, and it's we're trying to promote that culture within companies that we're giving you everything here that lets you know what status your training is for your staff. And it's up to the company then to act on that. And that's kind of a good ethos for us, because we're trying to promote a trained and compliant workforce as well.
Yeah, of course. Going back to what your background was in, it is refreshing to know that, you know, you've taken this from grassroots, from literally seeing a problem on the ground. And then, as you're saying, you know, your research really started with asking people, would this be valuable to you? And then just growing in confidence through time and taking that positive feedback and just developing it from there. And I suppose a big thing for people to understand, you know, if there's people out there who have ideas of their own, which there always is. I mean, most people do have ideas, but actually, you know, going and doing something about it is a completely different thing. But a big message is, as you say, being patient, giving it the time it needs, and just growing your confidence and the confidence in the idea. And it's great to hear that you're going in the right direction. What is the reception as you're trying to grow now, as you're in the market? What has the reception been as you're trying to, you know, put this product in front of people that are completely new to the concept? What has that been like? Has there been any big challenges for you that way?
Not particularly, Richard, to be honest. We've built the system, and which was key to the whole concept of it. It's extremely user-friendly. So if a company logs in, sets up today, they'd probably be able to work it without us having to do all of the training on it, which we obviously do as well as the onboarding. So from that side of things, once we get a company onboarded, the customer queries we get usually now are, can I do this? Or would you ever think about doing this? Which is brilliant for us. We're not having to have our thinking caps on all the times to make it better. We're now getting feedback from clients to have different areas or to support different areas. One of the areas we do get some feedback on, particularly with the larger companies, they'd like us to, and we do it, key into maybe a HR package they have or commercial package or some other software that they have they'd like up, which we can do. We can have a services division that will do that. So that's the kind of only thing we get back. But the feedback besides is really good. It is an immediate impact once we set a company up, and we love hearing things that are companies are thinking ahead. Well, can it do this and can we do that? That just makes us have a stronger product roadmap for Skillco, you know.
Yeah, for sure. And I suppose the fact that it is being received so well is an outcome of all that groundwork that you've done over the last 2 or 3, 4 years to make sure that it's actually something that's, you know, fit for purpose and solves a real problem.
Absolutely,
You're benefiting from that now, which is, it's good. It's, I suppose it's reassuring for you, I'm sure, to be in that position, and then it motivates you to keep improving it going forward.
So
just so people get a feel for this, I mean, I want, you know, these podcasts to be useful for our listeners, of course. That's the whole purpose of them. I want it to be inspiring. I think your story is inspiring in terms of what you've brought to the market and where you've come from, with a background that's very similar to many of our listeners. You did mention there, and this is something that might be directly appropriate for people listening, that your system, obviously, it helps businesses track their training and ensure that they're being compliant and so on. But on the back end of it, then the link that you're creating is to training providers. Mm-hmm. Can you give us a bit more of an insight into that? Because this might be something that people are actually directly interested in and maybe want to speak to you about.
Yeah. So if you can picture the way booking.com works for the hotel industry, we have built that into Skillco from business to business. It's not public yet, so anyone couldn't just log in. Anyone couldn't go on to Skillco now and book a training course. We've built it from a business to direct to trainers. So when we researched companies, say, that had staff that needed their training managed, we also researched training providers as well to see what problems they were having. What we found is the one big thing was to get payment, to receive payment back. The other ones, they had huge administration problems themselves, creating certificates, all of that kind of stuff, and then scheduling courses, when they're running courses, when it was on. But the most important thing was they've invested heavily in training staff or training themselves to be trainers, but they didn't have a direct marketplace to sell. So we have created a Skillco for a training provider to set up an account, which is completely free for them to do that. They'll offer all their courses that a company then, once they see their certificates going out of date, they'll go onto a shopping tool, which is like booking.com on the system, search the training course they're looking for, and that training provider will pop up and they can book that training or else do a training request to see they come to their venues and stuff like that. So we're creating a marketplace for trainers to sell and to develop and grow their businesses on the platform. We also have the platform built for a training provider, and we're adding more. We're focusing on that now for the back end of this year, for training providers to be able to use Skillco as an actual managed platform for themselves as well. So what I mean by that, Richard, is once a training provider will schedule a course to say, yeah, we're going to run this course this the first Friday of every month, they can do that. They can receive bookings from Skillco as well that will be direct to that booking, but they can also use the system to add manual attendees. It'll automatically generate a certificate for them, and it'll remind the manual trainees they add that they have the training upcoming. So send the attendees text messages and all that kind of stuff, even if they're not on the Skillco platform. So it gives them a full account of everyone they've trained and when they've trained them, and it's a storage tool as well. So we're trying to build it now in that sector that will remove a lot of the training administration for them as well. But most importantly, it's given them a marketplace to sell their courses to people who need their training.
Yeah. It's its own sort of ecosystem as such.
Yeah, exactly.
That's really interesting. For me, it's good to be part of this story, sharing it with other people. And I'll be looking forward to seeing how you develop Skillco and any other associated products that you come up with. And well done for getting this far as well.
Thanks very much. Yeah, thanks. That's still a journey ahead, but it's going as well as we would have hoped, I suppose, at this stage. So thanks for that, Richard.
Excellent. Well, maybe in a year or two's time, we'll bring you back on and see if the podcast is still going, and you can tell us how things are getting on. But for now, thank you for joining us.
Thanks. And
look after yourself, and all the best of luck.
Brilliant, Richard. Thanks very much for your time.
Well, I hope you enjoyed that insight into the journey that Brendan Maloney has went through in terms of identifying a problem within his day-to-day work, as I was saying, and then taking that little idea and starting to hit the ground with a bit of research, getting the support from the organization that he was working with as well, which was really notable during that conversation, and then taking that and growing it and getting momentum and ultimately building his own software product, which he believes is going to solve a really big issue within the HSE space. I don't know about you, but I really love hearing stories like that of real success within our space, especially from people that are coming from within the profession and they're identifying true issues that they're having and being a little bit entrepreneurial and taking the risk to develop a product to try and solve that problem. Maybe you have an idea that's nagging at you and you think, maybe I should build something to solve this. Well, if you needed inspiration, there it is. I'm sure Brendan would not hold it against you if you wanted to reach out to him to get a bit more information and have a chat about his journey. You can find him over at skillco.com. That's skillko.com. I'll leave a link in the podcast notes for you, and I'll see you in the next episode. Thanks once again for joining us for this episode. We really hope you find this content valuable. If you would like to provide us with some feedback, please remember to take a second to review, subscribe, and of course, if you can, share it with anyone who may find it useful. And we'll look forward to you joining us for the next episode. For more help and resources, don't forget that you can visit us at safety.com. Until next time, good luck.